Welcome to Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is the 293rd episode of Travelitch Radio. Every Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, we bring you exciting and often exotic guests from the world of travel, both foreign and domestic. We visit with hoteliers, airline executives, authors, photographers, publicists, and others in the travel world. Our special guest tonight is travel journalist Jennifer Prince. Welcome to Travelitch Radio, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. And first of all, I love the name of your website, Travel Like a Prince. Nice job putting that together. But please share with our listeners, what exactly is philanthropic travel and how do you get into it?
That's a great question. I actually have been doing philanthropic travel on and off for probably about 20 years now. So my first trip was actually to China to teach English for 3 weeks during one summer. And philanthropic travel, it's a really hard word to say. It's not one we use every day. But it's basically going somewhere. And nowadays, I would say, like, the buzzword that you hear a lot is voluntourism. When you go to a foreign country or even somewhere in your own country and you basically volunteer for a short period of time, but you make the most of what you can do while you're there in that country or in that location too. So, but
okay, I know you can talk about this for a long time. So, what have you done specifically for philanthropic purposes?
Okay, well, like I said, I did teach English in China, and that really kind of, I guess, like, whet my appetite for philanthropic travel. And then after that, I've been to Nepal 3 times, and it was actually some children's ministries that we did. I'm on the board now of the organization that I had traveled with, but I went there 3 summers in a row. And I actually took my children with me 2 times because they traveled really well, and it was neat to expose them to volunteering. And they were actually more like playing with these children, even though there was a language barrier, and it was really neat to see that. I've also been to Africa, blind schools for children there. And then recently, I think it was April, I went to Mexico and volunteered at a children's daycare. And then I just went to Nicaragua, and it was very short volunteer time. It was actually incorporated into another trip that I was on, but we also volunteered for a children's, it was like an after-school program because they only go to school half the day. And so they don't get a full education. So this location has actually provided afternoon education for these children. So a lot of what I've done, I know there's lots of different things that you can do as far as, cleaning up oceans and volunteering, helping out with animals and things like that. But it seems like a lot of what I've done has been dealing with children anywhere from actually birth up through teenagers was who I worked with in that summer that I taught English in China. So, but yeah, I've done a lot. It's been really exciting to see.
My question here is, what about the expense? I mean, to go to Nepal 3 times would break my bank.
Yeah. Well, when I went to China the very first time, I was teaching high school science way back in the day, and there was another teacher, but he actually had started the ministry of teaching these children English. And so for that particular trip, I raised funds. And that's kind of a neat thing to do in a way, if you can, is to get other people on board, because then they feel, even if they can't go, they can actually help send you on a trip. So that's what I did. I sent out all these letters to, like, family and friends and all. And then to go to Nepal, we actually it's a little bit different than a regular trip because the airfare is the greatest expense. But while you're there, I mean, you're going to a third world country, and we're not staying in luxury hotels while we volunteer. We're actually staying on site and all. So it may not be as expensive as you would think it is because you're not, having those costs, and you're eating the same meals as the kids are a lot of the times too. So basically paying for the airfare was what, and it's a matter of saving up for it. And all of that too. So it's, it's a delicate balance for whoever is going about how many times they want to go and where, because obviously going to China or Nepal or Africa, of course, is a lot more expensive than, at least for us as Americans, it's a lot less expensive than it is. I mean, it's more expensive to travel to those locations because they're far versus when I went to Mexico and Nicaragua, the flights were a lot less expensive because you're just traveling south, and it's a lot closer too. So, you know, weighing where you go and what you're volunteering for and how important it is to you also. Because, you know, the argument can be made that, okay, well, you spent $2,000 to go, you know, you could have just donated that money instead, and that would have done good for the program, which is true. But I think it's also encouraging to the people that you're volunteering with and the children's lives who you're touching to actually see people that care, because they're receiving money, but they don't know where it's coming from. And to see people actually coming in and kind of putting their nose to the grindstone and in the dirt, you know, helping these children is really, I think, a good thing for them to see, a positive thing.
Jennifer, do you differentiate between philanthropic and non-philanthropic, I can't say it either, travel trips, or do you try to combine both whenever you can?
Oh, I do a ton of different types of travel trips. So my background is, and this is kind of going to be like a convoluted route about how I actually got into travel blogging, but I started traveling when I was 14 years old. My dad, he actually owned his own business, had a business trip in Europe. And my mom and dad, actually, my dad was stationed in Germany during Vietnam. So the business trip was in Germany. My dad took a whole month off. I was an only child. And so the three of us, we traveled around Europe for a month. And that really was a great thing for me because it really got me to love travel. So that was kind of like my introduction to travel. And then about 8 years ago, I started actually a wedding blog. And then I started a wedding magazine. And because of destination weddings, I was getting invited on these press trips and media tours and things like that. So I was writing about these wedding destinations. But then we were eating at local restaurants and visiting these towns. And I was seeing all these wonderful things that were there besides the wedding venues. So I started writing about things that if you're getting married in California, this is a great place to do it. But if you're, you know, your guests are coming, here's a list of things that they can do, things that they can visit in the area. And so I started writing about non-wedding travel. And that's kind of how this whole ball game of travel writing came about for me, because I was trying to find a way to express these other wonderful things that I was experiencing, and also some of the personal travel that we do also. So some of the travel I do is for wedding related things. Some things I've been invited on press trips for, either philanthropic or just general things. The trip to Nicaragua that I went to last month was actually a yoga and surf trip, which was interesting. And then we did a day of volunteering. So I have done dedicated trips where I am specifically going to this place to volunteer, and that's all I'm doing. And then other places, which is actually really nice, that they will set up basically, you know, a group comes over and you experience the area for 5 or 6 days, but one day is spent volunteering at a particular place too. So it's kind of been a whole different thing for me, because I've done several types. I've done dedicated trips, and then I've done ones where it's, you know, just a few days of volunteering, or volunteering in the morning and then you have your afternoon free. So I think that's a really positive thing too about philanthropic travel, is that you can pick those trips, because if the idea of being in a daycare with children all day long is burdensome to you, well, you could go and find something that would be, you know, volunteering for a, you know, one day or just the mornings or something like that too. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff out there based on interest and time commitment that you're willing to do too. So it's really neat to see if you just are willing to do a little bit of digging.
And do you take assignments, or do you come up with your own ideas, or is it a combination of both?
Definitely a combination of both for me. I actually also own a women's publication, and so I will kind of like send myself an assignment, you know, what I'm doing and with my wedding blog and wedding publication, you know, those are assignments. People will have me come to their destination. I just went to Los Gatos, California just a couple of weeks ago, and I was brought in specifically by a hotel because they wanted to spread the word out that they do weddings and they do room blocks for weddings and all of that kind of thing. So it's been that type of journey for me as far as, you know, finding those assignments. But then I also do pitch articles too. So I went to Los Gatos and wrote about the wedding venue, but I also went, the town is adorable, it's so cute. And I went and explored the town. I took my camera with me and I photographed business owners, you know, local business owners, mostly female. And so I'm actually going to write an article about the female business owners and things to do in Los Gatos in addition to that. And that's something that I would look for an outlet to pitch that story to. So I think being a travel writer is a lot about creativity and seeking out sources where you can place your work and then pitching, which is easy in some places and more difficult in others. And to be transparent, that's a new part of my business plan for me, is the whole pitching outside sources, because I have a lot of things that I can write for on my own. Like, I can always find a place with guaranteed publishing if I go somewhere, because I have my own outlets, but then pitching them to other websites and, you know, magazines and things like that is definitely different than writing internally.
Okay, we're talking with travel journalist Jennifer Prince. Jennifer, Trav Media is an organization that I'm involved with, and I know you are too. Would you tell our listeners what it is and how it helps you?
Yes, Trav Media has been a great source of help for me. I'll tell you what it is first, and then I'll tell you kind of a little bit of the backstory on that. Trav Media is a great place where travel journalists can connect with PR companies and tourism boards and things like that. So it's nice because you can say, I'm headed to California and, you know, I'm going to write a story about this. Is anybody interested in picking that up? Or you can also utilize it to connect with people to find specific press trips. Like, if you're a health and wellness writer, if that's your niche, then you could find those types of people that are looking for writers. So it's kind of like a match.com, you could say, in a way, for tourism boards and also, you know, Convention and Visitors Bureau and PR reps and writers and influencers too. I mean, I know there's some influencers on there too. And a lot of writers now are a combination of both, you know, having their social influence, but then also, you know, being true journalists where they're out there writing and all of that too. So, and it's kind of neat too, because you get these press releases on there where a destination will have something new going on. So it just kind of keeps you in tab as far as what's going on around the world and new hotels opening up or new tours or a certain area that is starting to flourish and all of that too. But kind of an interesting thing for me, again, I told you that I have my own things, my own blogs, my own magazines that I'm putting articles in. And I wanted to break into traveling and writing about travel a little bit more. So I contacted Trav Media and I got very subtly rejected from it. And then I forgot that I had, you know, tried to join. And then the person, I don't know if it's the owner or whoever, like, filters through these people, was kind of like, you know, they didn't say these words exactly, but they were kind of like, sweetie, like, we need to see that you can write for other people besides yourself. And that kind of made me realize, like, oh, wow, because I go places and I'm like, look, you're going to be in a magazine, guaranteed. You're going to be on a blog, guaranteed. You're going to be all over my social media, guaranteed. But the fact that somebody was telling me that, like, in order to do better, in order to strive to do more, that you need to have your work in other places. So that kind of spurred me on to say, well, all right, I will be back in a couple months. I'll show you all these places that I've written for. And so I started writing for outside sources and mostly web. Actually, I pretty much think it's all web-based so far that I've written for. But I was able to send them all these links, and they're like, they said, okay, now you can join. Like, now we see that you're doing other things besides for yourself. So that was a learning experience for me also in joining that. So they were even helping me before I even became a member, because that kind of jump-started my writing for outside sources. So I think that's kind of an interesting little story.
Okay. I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel It Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel It Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And tonight we're talking with travel journalist Jennifer Prince. Jennifer, since print publications are giving way to the internet, has your workload changed in any way?
I would say that it hasn't for me, but my magazines that I have for print that I own are local, and in my local area, people will say print is dead, but in my local area, it's not. It's still viable. It's still thriving. And as far as me personally, Kindle, I never use it. I love the tactile experience of something in my hands, being able to bend down the pages and all of that. But it is definitely just overall shifting. I think it's nice as a travel writer that the web opens up so many more places for your work to be. And then there's also just the fact that the internet is evergreen. I have written stuff that, you know, for my own personal blog 8 years ago, and it's still there today, whereas you're lucky if you can find that magazine that your article was in 8 years ago. So I think the longevity and the fact that it's searchable too is, you know, really, really relevant nowadays too. So yeah, there's definitely a flip in that area too.
Jennifer, every travel journalist has favorite and least favorite places, places they would love to go back to. What's at the top of the Prince list?
You're going to think this is the strangest answer ever, but I am such a positive person that everywhere I go, and my husband, when he travels with me, he laughs because I'm always like, I could totally move here. I love this place. I want to, you know, and so I start making like plans like that. So it's really hard for me to speak like negatively about a place because I just always try to find the good and the positive and all of that. But in the same token, as far as traveling, I also feel that I don't really want to necessarily go back to a place because I've already experienced it and there's a whole big wide world out there. And I would love to experience a new place. And I always say I would travel anywhere that there wasn't like an opportunity to, you know, like, any, I don't know, like be in grave danger, you know, like anywhere that was pretty safe to go, I would travel any of those places. So places I haven't been that I would love to go. I would love to go to Australia. I do have a relative there that I have in the back of my mind that I hopefully, I mean, the airfare there is expensive. So I would like to go there. And then also, I would love to do the Amazon someday. I think that would be really neat. And then also, I don't know why, but like Barcelona is like one of the top countries I really want to go to. I mean, sorry, cities that I really want to go to, obviously, in addition to Spain itself. But I think that that would be a really neat trip.
It must have been that Woody Allen movie.
Maybe.
Okay. How about least favorite places that you would never go back to?
You know, this is terrible to say, but the one that I can actually think of is, and I feel bad saying this because so many people love it, but Myrtle Beach. And I know that's in America and it's not too far from where I live, but I love beaches, but I had never been to somewhere where you could look all the way down on either side. And it was literally like high rises. And then you have all those high rises worth of people coming out on the beach. And then I really felt like there wasn't a lot to do around as far as the stuff that I was really interested in. If you wanted to go off site, it was like, you know, there were outlets and chain restaurants and all of that. And I love going to like a small downtown and getting like the local feel. And I really couldn't find that there. So I probably would never go back there again. So I know that that's not like an exotic location, but I don't know. it wasn't our style as a family. It was a family trip. So.
Okay. Do you prefer to travel alone or in a group or on a press trip?
Again, I love all three. And, you know, the good thing about a press trip is that you're meeting people that are like-minded, and you can also share ideas. Some people are really funny about sharing ideas. Like if they've written for a really great place, they don't want to share any contacts in, but then other people do, and, or just like even tips and things like that. So I think even just the connectivity of connecting with people on a press trip is really, really a good thing. But I do have to say that my best writing and also my best travel experiences are when somebody just says, go here and do whatever you want, because it's a genuine experience. My husband and I actually, we took a Windstar cruise, and that was a writing, like on a media press thing. And so we were on the boat 11 days for a cruise, and they didn't have any requirements. All they wanted me to do was write post-trip. And I'm still in that phase of writing because I'm trying to write about the different islands and trying to find different angles and all of that. But that to me just was so organic because it was a true experience that, I mean, I did what I wanted to do. I did what I was interested in. We're huge explorers. So a lot of the islands we would get off and we'd be like, where's a place to rent a scooter or an ATV? And we would go and do the island on our own. And I feel like that just is so much better for my readership rather than a press trip, because a press trip, they're taking you around to all these different locations that they want you to see, and you're all, everybody on the press trip is writing about every single one of those things instead of, you know, here, you know, we're going to send you this place in the morning and, you know, we're going to eat dinner here, but go explore the town on your own. And, you know, you might be interested in the bookshops and things, or you might be interested in the fashions that are there and want to write about the different clothing stores and all. So I feel that there's just a more easier flow with just going. But I know obviously as a media outlet, you're really accountable to those places that bring you there. And I know that that's a gamble for places too. You really have to have somebody that you can trust if you're going to bring them in and just say, do what you want, because they're not able to control it, which is the purpose of a press trip, because obviously that's a very controlled environment. But yeah, I mean, to me, I wouldn't necessarily say solo, like me by myself, but being able to do what I want to do and stumble upon things that I discover that I'm interested in is really a good thing for a genuine writing style.
Yeah, we agree. For radio too. And how many languages do you speak? And have you encountered a language barrier anywhere on your travels?
I speak one, which I'm speaking right now. And, you know, it's embarrassing almost because you go to foreign countries and some of these, well, I mean, at least two languages, if not like three or four. But I do have to say, as English speakers, we are very fortunate because so many people around the globe do speak English. And even when I went to Nepal, people learn English and could at least muddle their way around. I did have 2 years of Spanish in high school, which has helped. It's kind of a funny story because it helped. When I went on that trip with my parents when I was 14 in Italy, it actually helped because my dad, they gave you Coke and they didn't have it cold at all. And so my dad was like saying ice, ice to the guy. And he was like, I don't know what ice is. And so my dad increasingly like got louder and louder and kept saying ice louder. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Dad, like you can scream it to him and he still doesn't understand the word. And so I just looked at him and I said, Fria? And he was like, oh, and he immediately knew what that was. So even though it was like muddled Spanish that I learned in high school, I was still able to, you know, communicate. So having that 2 years of Spanish has helped. And I've been to a lot of Spanish-speaking countries lately, you know, Puerto Rico, Nicaragua, Mexico. And so they all spoke Spanish. So that actually was very helpful just to know a couple of words, just to show even the country, you know, the people there that you're trying to make an effort. It does go a long way. So if you can pull out whatever language you had way back when, it can really be helpful.
And Jennifer, one of the toughest things for a travel writer is balancing travel time, writing time, and family time. Since you're a wife and mom, how do you manage?
It is a little difficult. I do have to say that. And I'm not stellar at the whole work-life, you know, home balance thing, but it does help me that my children are teenagers. And I will also say that the number one thing that really helps me is having a supportive husband. And he is, I mean, I am gone a lot and he's okay with that. I mean, he obviously receives benefits from that because he's been able to go on, we're leaving next week to go somewhere else. That'll be the third trip this year that he's been able to take with me. So, you know, he supports me in that way because it's exciting for him too, but he's really a partner and our kids can, you know, pick up the slack and do laundry and help around. So I think that kind of like, this is what mom does and this is part of what she does and we need to help her in that. Just like, you know, I would help my kids with their homework or help my husband, you know, he's at work all day and, you know, do his laundry and things like that. So I think that just kind of a family unit, truly being a family, is really helpful for me.
In Virginia, where you make your home, is a great place to find ideas for travel articles. So do you write about local or regional destinations too, as well as international ones?
I do. Yes, I actually have written for outside sources about my town. There's another blogger in Virginia that she actually writes all about all of Virginia. And so I just pitched to her about our town and things I don't know, there's a lot of history here. There's a lot of arts here. And so I wrote for her and encouraged people to come visit our town and also, and we live in a great area for wineries and things like that too. So it is a joy to write about things that I'm experiencing daily and also write about these other destinations too.
We're talking with travel journalist Jennifer Prince. Jennifer, I know airline travel has become more of a hassle. Long security lines, cramped cabins, fees for luggage, and increasing delays. But do you feel getting there is still half the fun, or is flying just a necessary evil?
I would say it's a necessary evil. I do have to say that I have an incredible ability to be able to sleep anywhere, which I'm really thankful for. So I can sit on a plane and fall asleep and sleep the whole flight. So I try to maximize my time on the flight that I like to fall asleep, so that when I'm arriving at my destination, especially if, you know, with time changes and things like that, I like to arrive as refreshed and all as I can. But yeah, it's not, I'm not one of those that's like, I love the airports, I love the plane. It is a necessary evil, I would say.
Are you still involved with broadcasting?
You know, it's kind of funny because I was, this was a few years ago, but I was a radio co-host for a while, and that was so fun. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And the only reason I left is because I'd been there for a while. I was there 5 mornings a week for 3 hours, and they promised that I would get payment, and I never did. And so I just said, I can't continue to do this for 15 hours a week and not have any compensation. And so that was like so hard for me because I love, love, love. I mean, I envy you doing a radio show. I think it's so funny that, you know, I don't know, it's almost like full circle, because actually the name Travel Like a Prince came from my radio co-host, because I told him I love to travel, and he's like, you should do like a travel show and call it Travel Like a Prince. So Travel Like a Prince has always been set in the back of my mind. And so when I started my blog, I was like, oh, Travel Like a Prince. Like, I already have a name thanks to my radio co-host. But I do TV segments a couple times a month. And so I also actually do local theater. So that's not broadcasting, but it's still like satiating that desire to do the spoken word, I guess you could say, in a way.
And I'm glad you mentioned your website again, because I'd like our listeners to get it so they can find some of your work. So tell us again your website.
TravelLikeAPrince.com. So, and of course that comes from my last name. So I married my handsome prince.
Okay. Last question. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to add?
I think we've pretty much covered it. I would say that if anybody is considering travel writing, that I think it's hard. There are a lot of people out there doing it. So whether you have you just, I don't know, have certain destinations that you love, kind of just try to find some different angles other than what's already been done out there too. And just to kind of keep at it. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I have not written for an airline magazine. I mean, that is like next on my list. There were a few websites I wanted to be on, and, you know, still have some websites I want to be on. And so just, I don't know, checking those things off, you know, starting small and trying to let it grow has been fun for me, but I think you need to start somewhere too. So.
Well said. And special thanks to Jennifer Prince for joining us tonight on Travelitch Radio.
Yes, thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
Okay, and listeners, here's a Midsummer Night's Dream for you. Curl up on the beach with a great baseball book. My book, The New Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from Our National Pastime, or When the Braves Rule the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta, both available from Amazon.com. If anybody wants signed copies, on Saturday, July 28th, I'll be signing from 11 to 1 on Main Street in Cooperstown, home of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's Saturday, July 28th, in front of Willis Money Rare Books. You can email me for more information at ballauthor, just like it sounds, ballauthor@gmail.com. And that's it for this edition of Travel With Radio. Join us next week, same time, same station, when we'll visit National Harbor, Maryland, and especially the Harborside Hotel. In the coming weeks, our topics will include Maine, Summer Nights B&B in the Wildwoods, the Hotel Emerson, and the brand-new New York Sports Tours. Watch our Facebook page for announcements. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.